Welcome to Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World, giving you choices and knowledge of those choices to help make your dreams come true. Welcome to either the 7 a.m. or 7 p.m. Sunday broadcast, or the 1 a.m. Monday morning broadcast, or welcome to the podcast. Thank you for going to either the radio show's page of richarddugan.com or iTunes or SoundCloud and listening to this interview. It's really nice that you did that. And we also hope that you will click on our guest's website link. We'll be giving that to you in just a few moments to allow you to do some further research and investigation to move forward in your life to continue your evolutionary process. I hope that you're all doing well and keeping busy, as it were. We are in a period in time, and it seems to be an annual thing, and we're going to find out more about that from our guest today, where people, they look forward to the holidays that are coming, and they look forward to the holidays that are coming. Oh, God, here we go again. And some folks, they also look forward to it in other ways. Well, one of the things that we're going to bring up in this program today has to do with, and I know this sounds kind of strange when I'm talking about looking forward to the holidays, is we're going to talk about addictions, because we all have them. Or do we? We're going to ask that question first and foremost of our guest here on the program. You know, over the years, the number of addictions has gone up. I mean, there are all kinds of them, and so has the treatment program or treatment programs. And today's guest, Rita Somani, is she's been working as an addiction treatment counselor since 1988, and she's has a very important message to share with all of us, those who are addicted individuals, the families, and to even the treatment programs and professionals that are out there. And we want to welcome Rita Somon to our program. Thank you for joining us again today. It's great to have you back.
Thank you, Richard, for inviting me again.
What is, in a general sense, what is an addiction?
Addiction is basically, it can be two. Even positive things, you know, going to gym all the time, eating healthy all the time, kind of like, you know, just like you're obsessed with that, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So what happens is when people are addicted, so which means like that's the only time they feel good, when they use drugs, alcohol, you know, or go to gym. It's healthy addiction to go to gym, but if that's the only thing you're doing, you know, mm-hmm. That can also become like you're ignoring other aspects of your life, you know, because that's more important for you. So I think that people get addicted means like dependent on those things. There's like a psychological dependence and physical dependence. Physical dependence happens, you know, when people are they're addicted to drugs and alcohol. When they don't use it, they try to withdraw and stop use. So they go through withdrawals. Okay. And withdrawal to the drugs and alcohol is opposite of what they feel, you know, when they actually are using those drugs. That's one of the reasons, you know, people have a hard time stopping. Another thing about addiction is that once you're addicted, that means that your brain will only generate the chemistry you need to be happy only in the presence of that drug and alcohol and behavior. So when you stop drinking and using drugs and using your other compulsive behaviors, that means now you're at a loss because you don't know how to feel good because your brain is not making that chemistry. It doesn't have a reason for it because you took that power away from brain to do it, you know, with drugs and alcohol. So, but it's not that you cannot restart that in the brain. But you have to seriously look at your addictions and look at why you have the addiction and address those causes in order to get your brain, regulate your brain chemistry naturally.
So now you said that there are both positive as well as, and we'll use these terms, positive as well as negative addictions. That also, and then you've also talked about the brain chemistry. So regardless of whether it's positive or negative as far as an addiction, there is this release of certain chemicals that makes you feel good and makes you want to continue doing that thing or taking that thing. Am I correct in that? It's not just, and for example, in the case of alcohol and drugs, it's not mm-hmm. just the alcohol or drugs. There's also another chemical that's already within our systems that is fired off that says, oh, that's great. I love that. I got to do that again, whenever again would happen to be. Whether it's taking drugs, drinking alcohol, exercising, whatever that addiction might be. Is that correct?
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So that chemical is always there. And is that, am I correct? Is it an endorphin?
Yeah, endorphin, oxytocin, serotonin,
Okay. And if it's a, and I guess here's the struggle that I might have with this. You say there are positive and negatives, but are addictions really, shouldn't there be more of a balance in one's life as opposed to even if it's working out at the gym? I mean, you could actually do yourself harm using that as the example, even if it's a positive addiction, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Well, what that means is that you are ignoring everything else and you're just feeling proud that you go to gym every day and you work for hours, So you're only taking care of one aspect of your life,
Mm-hmm.
Because people get a high from working out,
Yeah.
Even though it's a positive behavior, but, using anything outside to feel good consistently is what is going to cause you to become addicted or dependent on that activity for the brain to generate that chemistry.
Mm-hmm. And you say that is it 99.9% of us, 75%, or is it literally 100% of us? We all have addictions of one form or another.
Oh, we engage in compulsive behaviors, but kind of, if you are too focused on making money, and that's what is addiction.
Mm.
So whatever you're doing too much, not living in a balanced, living a balanced life, is that activity where, okay. Suppose you feel guilty because you didn't go to the gym today. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I see what you mean.
So you're going to beat yourself up for that.
Right.
So
the process that one goes through to become addicted, it's not, and I've heard this scenario many times, that an addict does not get up the first morning of their addiction and say, I want to smoke crack, or I want to drink alcohol all day, or I want to smoke cigarettes, or I want to go to the gym and just work out. They don't necessarily wake up and decide consciously to do that, do they?
No, it's automatic.
Okay.
Automatic.
It's because when they did it the first or second or third time and it felt so good, they had the compulsion to continue, and that's what turns it into an addiction.
No, it depends upon different things. Some like a stimulants are very quickly you get the addiction, mm-hmm. So okay. Depending what substance and what chemical you're using,
And so once a person becomes addicted, and I know that they're running these commercials on television now, finally admitting to the addictive qualities of cigarettes because of the nicotine and that it's intentional. And now they have these new nicotine delivery systems that are geared towards kids, that when you inhale or vape, you're getting these wonderful flavors of cereal and donuts and chocolate and vanilla and all these kinds of things. But it's mm-hmm. still, it's just as addictive. And, I sit here wondering, how can anybody in their right mind, after finding out that the cigarette companies, manufacturers, intentionally made addicts of their customers in order to keep them in that respect, if the customer doesn't end up dying from cancer of some sort. Now they're doing it, and again, I'm only going based upon the information that I've seen and heard. The cigarette companies are doing it again, only they're targeting the young kids, and it's legal to do that because vaping hasn't been, and it's kind of like our technology outstrips our the laws that we have in place. So I find that rather interesting. When a person becomes addicted and they reach that place that Robert Bly talks about in his book Iron John, they reach the place of what's called catabasis, or the bottoming out. They've reached the bottom of the well, as it were. And they finally realize, you know what, I don't like this anymore, because I don't have a family, I don't have friends, I don't have a job, I'm living on the street, whatever the negative circumstances are, and they want to get help. They might come to someone such as yourself, and that's a wonderful thing, but the odds of them relapsing, what are those odds as far as your experience is concerned of relapsing?
Oh, very high. Because the thing is that, you know, if people don't address, everybody uses drugs and alcohol or compulsive behavior for a different reason. Okay. So if you don't address that reason, then we're going to continue to use it as a habitual thing, you know. Because that's the only way our subconscious mind is helping us feel good. Make sense?
Yes. So what's the solution to this whole aspect of relapse? I would love to go back to say, what's the solution to keep us from becoming addicted? But it just seems that, you know, you never know what it is going to be. So, all right. Each one of us has those compulsions. We have those addictions. What's the solution?
Solution is to basically, now the research says that, you know, people have some long-held trauma from their past. They need to address that. Because when you have trauma stored in your subconscious mind is only helping you to not have a nervous breakdown, you know. Because of it's still processing the trauma, still it thinks it just happened, you know, or it's happening. Or it's doing things to help regulate your heartbeat and other stuff. So that's what it's more focused on. So in order to feel good, you know, to have these happy chemistry like dopamine, oxytocin, serotonin, and endorphins, you know, you find other ways to do it. You know, so now you know, if you don't feel good, then you can go and pick and choose what makes you feel good, you know. So like Dr. Gabor Mate, he's a physician and author of the book Realm of Hungry Ghosts, Close Encounters with Addiction. So he says that chronic substance use is the addict's attempt to escape distress. And from medical point of view, addicts are self-medicating conditions like depression, anxiety, post-traumatic stress, or even ADHD, you know. And he says that addiction always originates in pain. So whether felt openly or hidden in the subconscious, you know. And all these compulsive behaviors, alcohol, drugs, you know, they're emotional anesthetics, you know. So we try to numb these emotions and feel normal by doing these activities. So if we do not address, you know, these activities, address the like a root cause of these addictions, so chance, even if a person decides to stop using because of the negative consequences, right? But we cannot fear, we can change and stop. Okay, we can stop. Okay, because doctor said you're dying of cirrhosis of liver. Okay, you stop. But then because your attitude doesn't change, because you become a dry drunk, you know, you're not drinking, but you're not happy either, because your brain is not making any happy chemistry, you know. So then you go to AA, you know, all the time, you know, to be with somebody who has gone through the similar problem, you know. So people go like, sometimes people go 2 meetings a day. So which means that now, you know, they don't have a normal life. Okay, so they are getting addicted to outer resources all the time. Where once you address these root cause of addictions, then you generate your Your brain starts its natural chemistry. You don't have to hide behind drugs and alcohol to feel good. So you don't have to go to, I mean, you can go once in a while to support group to support other people or just be there, but you don't have to create another addiction, even though it's good to go to meetings and all that stuff, you know. But you only go for support group or to see a doctor when you're not well. So when you're completely healed, there's no need for you to do that. Then you do something else, go for hiking, go sightseeing, go to world vacation, you do other things because now you have a chemistry that tells you, okay, let's have fun, let's do this, let's do that. So that's the only way we can actually stop the cycle of relapse.
Hmm. I know that a lot of folks too, over the years that I have been aware, a lot of people think that some of the other approaches that have been tried of a religious nature, you know, it's a spiritual problem that needs to be resolved, or, you know, and I'm sure you've heard this before, that, you know, some will even say, oh, there's a demon inside and we need to exorcise that demon or what have you. And maybe in a sense that might be true, but the demon is more the chemicals that are being fired off due to the compulsive activity. And that's what I'm hearing from you. How did you get involved in this kind of work? I'm curious as to how this started for you.
Okay, I was married to my first husband who was addicted to alcohol and hashish, you know, in India. And he was also having some mental problems. People who have addictions can also develop depression and other mental health related issues. So he ended up committing suicide, you know. Mm. So when I remarried and came to America, I was working as a school counselor before, but I decided to change my line of work because I wanted to help people. I didn't want people to kill themselves or kill someone else because of the addiction. So I wanted to know what is that, why people are not able to stop. They know it's not good for me. So I went to school and got my qualifications. I had master's already, so I got drug and alcohol counseling trainings and started working with people. But then the thing was, there's another story, we'll talk about it, that why 18 years of working with these people before I embarked on a new journey of learning new methods, people were not getting better. Hmm. That disheartened me. And I'm thinking, like, is it that bad that once an addict, because they say once an addict, always an addict. Once an alcoholic, always an alcoholic. They say that.
Mm-hmm.
Why? Because they know that, you know, you will be recovering alcoholic and addict, but you won't be like a cured alcoholic and addict, you know. So once you have this belief that, you know, once alcoholic, always alcoholic, what are your chances of, you know, it disempowers you. Like, there's something new that is not curable. Addictions are incurable. It's a belief that we have bought into. And I'm here to say that it's not true, okay? Just like we were led to believe that world was flat many years ago, and upon later investigation, it was proven incorrect. So it is with disease, addictions, health issues. So when we address the root cause, the body doesn't have to speak. Bring out those issues, emotional issues, through these symptoms and through the behaviors. So that I got into that for 18 years. I was using traditional psychotherapy, feeling good about it, that at least I'm doing some good, you know. But I did not know that I was a codependent person for 6.5 years in that marriage, that I had my own issues and my own reason to attract the addict and be with him. In spite of him being abusive and all, I stayed in that relationship for 6.5 years. So that's coming in my book, you know, how the journey started.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, let me ask you about the present method that you use regarding the subconscious. First of all, how long have you been using this method, and what's the success rate that you have experienced through working with people with addictions?
So I have been using this these energy healing methods, you know, since 2006.
Okay.
And I learned Psyche process. I taught it to for 18 years. Then I learned Ho'oponopono, healing code, emotion code, EFT, access consciousness. So I kept learning these methods because, and also hypnotherapy that I refer my clients to sometimes, you know. So I mix these modalities, you know, to get my help to address that trauma that is stored in the subconscious mind. And the reason these methods are working, because these methods work in the subconscious mind. And the thought therapy is insight-based, willpower therapy, where they say, be strong, you know. But the thing is that insight and willpower and motivation seldom create real lasting changes because these methods are not addressing the root cause of addictions, which is in the subconscious mind, you know. Before I was introduced to these methods, you know, I was doing for 18 years psychotherapy. I did not realize that, I did not know actually that 95% of our thoughts and decisions originate at the subconscious level of the mind. And also our chemistry originates there. So what that means is that we are using our conscious mind only 5 to 10% of the time. So in order to stop any addiction, we have to be on it all the time, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So what that means that we just focus on that only. Our life is going to revolve around stopping drinking and drug use, you know. And so if we just take our mind off of that, we relapse here. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
There are other things that you need to do. So you cannot use the 5, 10% off, go 90 meetings, 90 days. Yes, people are mandated to do that, you know, so that they can stay clean and sober. But that is still conscious mind, you know. So the goal is to use the goal is to include subconscious mind in the process of healing, you know. That's where all the sources of the problems are located, you know. So I started using it like in 2006 and kept adding more processes to it. So now I know for sure that if you do not address what caused you to have an addiction, your chances of living a normal, happy, balanced, addiction-free life are not good at all.
And this is the most effective method that you have found of all of those that are out there at this particular point. And there are a lot of them. I mean, there are all kinds of different programs. I also know, too, that when it comes to, for example, alcohol, I know that there's a drug that you can take that makes alcohol abhorrent to you. But it seems to me like, okay, that's great that now you hate the taste of alcohol, or it makes you sick, literally, physically sick. But that doesn't seem to take care of that need for those chemicals firing off in your brain. So then you're gonna have to find another addiction somewhere that that doesn't make you sick.
Yeah. But see, stopping drinking or drug use is not the main issue here. Why you do it is the main issue here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because if our 95% of our behaviors come from subconscious mind, you know. So you cannot change your behavior with the conscious mind. That is situated in the subconscious mind. So that's why it's important to reprogram the subconscious mind, release the trauma, create new positive beliefs, you know,
mm-hmm.
that will give you confidence to live your life in a normal way, you know. So people, what is happening is that it's not like I use a method and that's the best method. I use a blend of methods, okay? I don't use one method. I blend with psychotherapy, a psyche process, access consciousness, Ho'oponopono, EFT, emotion code, healing code, all these processes I use.
Mm-hmm.
Plus I have people who also help my clients to do some hypnotherapy work too. It's a combination of different modalities, you know. When I see my clients, then I get this intuitive kind of a hit on what's going on here. And we check with muscle testing, because subconscious mind is like a lie detector machine when you do muscle testing with the client. So we find out if it's truth or not the truth, and we go from there. Well, the thing is, good about the work I do is I always use the permission protocol to make sure that the changes we are trying to instill in the subconscious mind are in the highest and best good of the client through muscle testing. And also to see if the subconscious mind is ready to incorporate these changes. So that's what I like about the work that I do with people. I use permission protocol with every modality that I use with my clients. Mm-hmm. And the reason they get better is because now they don't have all those issues in the subconscious mind. So which means like they have new self-definitions, new definition about the world they live in, about relationship, health, wealth. So they have a new, total new way of looking at things now. So when you have a new way of looking at things and when you do positive actions, then you see the results and long-term results, because now you don't have any blocks to when you're doing some actions. It's not like you're doing some action to stop drinking and stop something. Your subconscious mind will let you do for a short time, but then it'll go to automatic mode. Mm-hmm. Now the automatic mode is like, I naturally eat healthy food. I naturally practice healthy habits because I don't have those reasons of people pleasing, caretaking, feeling guilt, shame that I had from my past, you know. So, I mean, I was addicted to working too much. I was a workaholic. I worked 80 hours a week. Plus I was a shopaholic, you know. Mm-hmm. So that was my addiction. So, and also kind of addicted to smoking, also cigarettes, which I quit cold turkey. Okay, because my father quit cold turkey, so I did it too. Mm-hmm. But the thing is that because now if I'm not smoking, you know, then I'm not feeling good, you know. So I picked some other habits to feel good, you know, which was like, okay, I have money, so I can buy anything I want kind of thing. But that's the only way I could feel happy. I was using those activities to feel good. But once I addressed the root cause, you know, of my problems, I don't have that reason. If I go shopping, I just go shopping if I feel I need something. It's not something, that's not where I spend my time. I go to the nature. I spend my time there, connect with the nature. And you have seen my videos and pictures on Facebook all the time I post. And I kind of thrive on going there. But it's not like I leave everything and go there. But I live in balance, so in nice weather, I just go there. And I say, okay, let's go. Instead of saying, let's go shopping to the mall, I say, no, let's go in the nature. Because my new vibration calls for that kind of action from me. Because there's nothing that it has to fix by doing shopping inside to feel good. I'm already feeling good. So the thing is that you have to feel good. You cannot feel good from outside. Feeling good can only be created from when you work on those issues. When you're naturally happy, then you don't need anything outside to feel good because you already feel good. Mm.
We're going to continue talking with Rita Soman here about addictions and about the process of getting unaddicted, if you will. And we're going to find out more about that as we continue here on Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World. Please stay with us. And welcome back to Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World. I'm here with Rita Soman via Skype, and we're talking about addictions and how to get, I don't know if it's unaddicted. If we are able to go through this process, this method that you use, are you able to say that, though maybe not officially and all of this stuff, but is this a cure? At least for that particular addiction, because it is possible, I guess, to move on to other things and hopefully maybe, you know, transfer to a more positive addiction, if you will, if we want to look at it that way. Or if not cured, that we move on to, as you kind of phrased it, a normal life.
Yeah, and you don't have to be addicted to something positive to feel good. The goal is for you to, even if you don't work today, don't do anything today, you feel good. You know? Mm-hmm. if you will do something and you won't beat yourself up. You say, okay, we can do it tomorrow, no problem. So because you're in that zone of feeling good. So when you feel good, I mean, the reason I don't smoke cigarettes or do compulsive shopping, you know, or work too much is because I'm not trying to mask my feelings inside. I'm trying to distract myself. I'm facing life head on and enjoying as it comes. I don't complain about weather. I don't talk about politics. I just want to talk about fun stuff because inside I have this happy chemistry going through me all the time. Sometimes people ask me, how come you're happy all the time? And I said, because I can be, because I took my time to work on all that. Finally, not let my brain create its natural chemistry so I don't have to look for outside to feel good, you know?
Well, now you've heard the saying that a doctor who has himself for a patient basically has a fool for a patient. So I'm curious, and I say that with all due respect, how did you get through and over a lot of your subconscious issues? How did you resolve your traumas?
Because, first of all, I had to be aware of it, that I have traumas, you know. Okay. Because I wasn't doing drugs and alcohol, so I didn't think I had anything going on. I thought I have a good life, I'm earning good money, I'm successful and all the stuff. So, but when I started to fall apart, my body first and my mind and everything else, I knew there was something not right. And then I presented myself to a therapist and hypnotherapist and see what's going on. And other modalities also felt good. But once I learned this work, I said, oh, wait a minute, let me check in my subconscious mind what's going on. So I was able to have a couple of people who were also instructors of psyche then. They all don't work anymore as an instructor, because we realize after that we are therapists, we enjoy working with people one-on-one, then to teach somebody how to fix your own heart is not possible. We need a specialist. So I hired some people to help me with that, and slowly in layers I cleared my issues. And so my need to please and get recognition and my anger issues I had, you know, shopping and compulsive, all that stuff. So anything I was using to distract myself. So as I worked on those issues, there was no need for me to do something to distract, but to enjoy, you know? Mm. So I tell you that once I completely cleared myself, it's not like I'm totally healed. Like if I find something else, it's, oh, but now I know how to do that with myself, you know?
Right.
And so if I can change something, and I'm okay next day, that means it's okay. But if it keeps coming back, I say, oh, there's something else that is asking my attention. For my attention, so I just go and see someone to, you know, see, find out what's going on here with this issue. Like, for example, right now, I tell you, I feel emotionally free, totally free. I'm telling you, totally free, which means nobody can drag me into a conversation that will conflict my happy chemistry. I will just say, okay, gotta go, because that's not something interests me anymore. So, and then I realized that even though I was not pleasing people and doing other things, but somehow I still was feeling sorry for people who couldn't afford my sessions. So I started offering them sessions at low cost, no cost, and dug a huge hole for myself. And I said, wait a minute, I cannot help people to relieve people if I'm asking for a relief fund for my survival, you know? Mm-hmm. So I worked on that one. So right now my new goal is I gave myself permission to earn as much money I want to earn. And now that I am clean inside out, I feel that, you know, when I create this income, generate more income, it won't be a surprise for me. Oh, what is that? Who am I to deserve it? You know? So I think the higher source is using me now as grooming me to become a success and prosperity coach as well. And I like that, because I'm able to easily help people, because I've helped myself with those issues, other issues, emotional, psychological. That's my expertise, helping. But then I said, well, why do I avoid talking about money, or when somebody talk about money, I change the goal, talk about something else kind of thing. So I said, it's not, even if I don't want more money, that's okay. But I get irritated about it when people talk about money. I get very angry, you know. I need to address that issue. So I was able to address that issue and gave myself permission. And as soon as I did, I started attracting people who also want to create success and prosperity. And I'm thinking, interesting, you know, how I'm being groomed for it and then already start getting people. So I'm happy that it's all energy, you know, that money is the means for us to not just survive, but also do things that, you know, we want to do. Travel in the world or whatever it is, you know. And when we have extra money, then if you want to give to somebody, help them out, there's nothing wrong with that. It's actually good. But problem is that I still had a layer of, in me, was like feeling sorry for people because they can't afford, you know. And so I worked on that one. That was very important for me to work on. Now what I tell my clients, if you cannot afford $150 a session every week, you can do every other week. But I don't drop to 75 anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Because I realized that by doing that, I was attracting more people who wanted discount from me. And that's, I was keeping everybody in a poverty mode because of that. So a lot of things that come to my conscious awareness, it has to come to your conscious awareness. And you have to be willing to look deeper and say, what is the reason, what's going on? And then address it. And that's, we are here to live an excellent life, free of all outer addictions and compulsions and have be prosperous, successful, and do what we want to do. You know, we all came here to do that. But somehow we have these limitations from our childhood that don't let us, you know, believe in these new concepts, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So when we clear those old programming from our childhood and we put this, introduce new concepts to the subconscious mind, then it'll support us on that one.
Mm-hmm. What's the... from your perspective and what you've discovered up to this point, what's the big plan on the horizon? What's the big picture here for you in this regard of helping people through their addictions?
My big plan is to do more community lectures to introduce people to these concepts so they understand that there's a why people are not able to stop using and so families don't get upset with them. You know,
mm-hmm.
So that's important that because families are important, play important part in, you know, person's healing. If a person relapses, they'll put the person through shame, you know, God, you know, or they try to threaten them, I'll leave you. And but once they know what's going on, and even families, the spouses have their own issues to attract an addict, you know, because maybe they're coming from a place they're not used to being loved, you know. They didn't get attention as a child, so it's pretty familiar to them that the subconscious mind attracts, you know, a similar situation for them. So educating the families and parents to learn these facts and begin to heal themselves so that they can respond to their children's distress from children's problem in a positive way. That's one thing I do, plus I'm expanding my addictions treatment program, addictions and family counseling. I'll complete 20 years next year, so I'm going to have a 20th celebration year anniversary. And I would open more branches. I have people trained by me who are going to be working. They do the same work I do, you know, and they are also healed themselves. So I only would like those people to work with me who are also on the same page, because you know, research shows that if the therapist hasn't resolved his or her issues, it doesn't matter how many methods they know, you know, they won't be able to heal the person sitting in front.
Yeah, it's kind of hard.
So it's very important.
Yeah, kind of hard to go to a doctor to get a particular condition taken care of when the doctor's suffering from the same condition and hasn't taken care of it.
Exactly. Now, suffering is okay. People are suffering and they're on treatment. That's fine. But, like, not doing anything about it, you know. That a lot of people who, in addiction treatment program, they send their clients to AA meetings and ask them, when was the last time you went to AA, you know.
Mm-hmm.
They say, no, I don't need to go. Or they go to Al-Anon meetings for spouses of addicted people, you know. They don't. So, and they're just, like, working too much and... they are not example of the work. They're trying to help. I mean, when people come to you, they should see you and they should know that there's something, some hope here. So when you're stuck in the mud of your own problems, I would say that to every therapist, you know, I mean, it's important that we keep updating our consciousness, our belief systems, you know, according to all the changes that are happening in the world, so we can be more present with our clients and help them. Help them in real sense, you know.
Right. I'm curious as to the support that you get, in particular from your present husband. Has he gone through any of this, or is this a situation where he's saying, hey, you know, it's wonderful what you're doing, it's a beautiful thing, but I'm off doing my thing and I don't need to be bothered? Where does he stand with the work that you're doing?
Actually, you know, my husband and I are on the same page. We believe in doing our own personal growth work, okay? Mm-hmm. So he didn't have addiction to any alcohol, but he was definitely working too much like me before. So once he also learned about some facts through me and saw changes in me, then he presented himself for some help and I was able to resolve those old, long-held issues that he had, that he wasn't even aware of it. So he is very supportive because he, actually I taught him methods that I use with other people, so he has it. So if he meets a friend, he can facilitate some work, or a family member, he can do that. So we are on the same page. It's so much fun to have someone who understands your work. He supports me. This is like, I tell you, this is the best thing that ever happened in my life, to attract somebody who is so supportive. And he was always like that, but just like, because I had a low self-esteem, so I was like thinking, who am I to be treated that way? So I had to really work on myself before my marriage fell apart. So I decided to, I have a trouble receiving compliments, I had a trouble receiving love. There's something going on. I need to address that, which I did.
Yeah, it's interesting too. You know, you talk about all these different things that you know, these messages. And there are many people who our society just seems to think, well, you know, that's normal. That's not a big deal. And then you start taking a look around and I hear what you're saying. And I start taking a look around at the people in our society. I'm going, yeah, and that's why we're not moving forward very fast as a civilization. We're kind of stuck.
Yeah. But see, the thing is that we don't want to learn. I mean, people are so caught up in the news and other stuff and what's going on in the world, and they're not putting any attention into what's going on within me, you know. Like most guys are not in touch with their feelings, you know. They're more like a logical thinkers, analytical, not too much into, because they were raised that way, you know, from how many years, you know, the man is raised to be a provider and all that stuff. So he doesn't get too much into feelings and emotions and things like that. So I think that people need to, I mean, there's a psychiatrist, his name is Mark Epstein. He says that the reason we're having problem in the world is because we think too much and feel less. So we have to develop our capacity to get in touch with those emotions and start feeling those emotions. That's the basis of this chemistry. When you feel good, your brain says, okay, I'm with you, you know. You're just like, just focusing on other stuff and that is more mechanical.
Yeah.
It's very important to, one thing I like about the work I do is it helps people to use their whole brain, their whole 100% power to look at things and interpret that way. So left brain is more logic and analytical, right brain more thinker, intuitive, looks at the big picture, it can imagine things, you know. So the work I do, it helps people to have a left and right brain in communication simultaneously, and by it creates a whole brain state. And so scientists are saying it's very important that, like, for example, you know, Dr. Jeffrey Fallon, he's a director of cognitive enhancement. He's a neuroscientist. So he's done a research that reveals that the whole brain state is a significant contributor to human evolution. From a neuroscience perspective, it allows greater efficiency in the brain and enhances both conscious and subconscious processes. You know, so from a quantum perspective, it's a gateway to higher consciousness. So it's important that we use the whole brain, you know, which means if I need to feel something, I won't use logic, because you cannot conquer a feeling with logic.
No, I certainly can understand.
You have
that.
To, for example, if somebody is having money problems, they have to first feel that, oh my God, I'm poor and broke. Oh, I feel so miserable, or whatever. I feel put that feeling part, and that we teach them how to process these feelings. Then they can use the logical brain and say, okay, so let's see, figure it out that how I got to this point and what I need to do. I can tell you about me is that the only motivation for me to make money was I grew up in a middle-class family in India. So we were happy, content with that lifestyle. So mm-hmm. when I tried to live an American dream here and earning a lot of money, so my subconscious mind let me do that for some time. But then I did not know what to do with. My subconscious mind could only handle as much it had seen before. Okay. Thus, I got into compulsive shopping. I didn't shop for myself, but to give people, because I had a program to please others, to be caretaker. That's where I use money. So my motivation to earn money, if I think of a project that will generate, I'm good at generating money for other people, like for some charity, no problem. Mm-hmm. But I had a hard time generating money for myself because to me, my subconscious mind was, so why do we need that much money? We're happy kind of thing. So I kind of changed that programming in me and said, it's okay for me to, money is good to have. It's my birthright. It's a reward for my inner and outer work. I accept it now. It's safe for me to be wealthy because I have to feel that if you are wealthy, then your life is at risk, you know, not safe. So I had to clear all those programs in order to, you know, it's not like even if you decide not to make more money, but why you're not making more money, those issues can be killers. Because inside you're always having fear. You're living in fear mode.
Yeah.
When you live in fear mode, then you create all fearful experiences for yourself, including like a low balance in your account, not being able to pay bills. This is all fear-based. So I was able to change my fear-based programs in me that I had for who knows how many lifetimes. So it's important to do this work so that you can, even if your life is good, but you know what, if you can see if it is naturally good, if it is good because of I have a good spouse, because I have a good job, because I make more money, whenever you are basing this happiness or label on yourself, you know, you're not really happy. Happiness is something that you're happy, period, that's it.
Yeah.
And from that place, you can enhance it by doing other things.
Right. You were talking earlier about expansion of the work that you're doing and obviously training other people, and you're up near Portland, Oregon right now. So I would think that you're seeing clients there, but obviously the big thing these days, of course, is online counseling. And is that something that you're doing as well?
At least 80% of my clients are online, all over the world. And I do Skype sessions. I get great. Most of my work actually is coming through my successful clients, and which most of my clients are pretty successful because they are willing to address what's hidden in the subconscious mind. So I do most of my work, you know. That's why I want to start my addiction, expand my other programs, to hire people, so that it won't, the only reason I was not expanding because now I'm free, I can do online work anywhere, I can go on a vacation and do online work. So I said, but I want to expand this, and how can I make it happen? So once I addressed my emotions and everything else, the logic kicked in, say, okay, we'll train people, hire them, let them do it, unsupervised. So my big goal is to open more branches and then supervise and be available as a consultant to people who really want to help people or themselves, you know. So that's what my big goal is, to more like a help people with some bigger issues that other people are not trained, who are in my staff, and just work on those special needs people with bigger issues.
Right.
And also to help motivate and educate the other treatments, the professionals from this industry who want to help themselves and help their clients better, more effective way. That's my goal. But you know what? The thing is that I can set a goal and move toward it. But at the same time, I'm also in touch with my with the higher self, that final word is from the higher self, okay? Say, oh, I have this for you. It's okay. I'm open to it. But I like doing work that is so fulfilling that you can wake me in the middle of the night and say, somebody called and they need this work and somebody's suicidal. I'll wake up as if I I'm so fresh, you know? So I know this is something, not that I have a practice of doing that. What I'm saying is this is how I feel about it. But I live a totally balanced life right now, working 25 to 30 hours a week. I live in total balance. And that, I could never do that before.
I'm curious as to the, certainly we've been talking primarily about addiction today, but what other types of clients do you see, and what kind of results can one expect? I also understand, too, you can't really put a timetable on it. It takes as long as it takes, but at the same time, I would venture that the work that you're doing is pretty comprehensive in that respect. So what kind of clients and the results can those clients expect?
Well, actually, I see people from like different, like some people have issue with addiction, some have compulsive behavior, some people procrastinate, some people have cancer problems, some people have mental health issues, some people have relationship issues, some people have grief-related issues, you know. So I get those people coming. So depending upon how much, like, it's just like, you know, you take your car to the mechanic, you know, mechanic will decide, looking at the transmitter, say, okay, what's going on, and then tell you. If somebody has a little issue, then it may take 2 or 3 sessions, or it may take 3 to 6 months, you know. So that's how it is for people.
And people can go to your website and, of course, do some further research and investigation. But then if they say, hey, you know, this sounds like this resonates with me, I want to follow up on this. There's a place there on your website that where they can sign up, they can connect with you and begin that process.
Yeah. They can go to my website, they can send me email, or they can call me on my phone number, 503-667-2023. They can text me there also. They can Google me, Rita Soman. They can find all the contact information about me. They can go on YouTube, put my name there. I have some testimonials there. I am so excited to help people because I am there. And I know how it feels good to be on the other side. That's my biggest motivation. I want to help people who want to feel super good. Mm. And it's possible.
Mm. And also, we want to encourage you to go to her website, which is ritasoman.com. That's ritasoman.com. And find out more about what she's doing. And, of course, we're spending today's program specifically talking about addictions, what they are and how you can overcome them through this series of. And again, this is one of the things that I like about many of our guests. They don't just have one modality. They have a plethora. You have a laundry list, so to speak, of modalities that you can choose from. And, of course, that's where this big subject that we are constantly talking about, that's where your intuition comes in, isn't it?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So you trust your intuition in that regard. And we are very excited about helping you in that regard to make a lot of these kinds of things happen. I know that a lot of folks, they get a little concerned about sometimes revealing stuff. You know what I mean? It's like they're a little worried about, you know, what's going to happen with this information and that kind of stuff. And obviously, I know that there's confidentiality
I want to share something with you, that the work I do, I just send them one questionnaire, one time only, okay? It's confidential. They send it to me. I base the whole healing on the basis of what they just told me, okay? We don't spend time in, let's talk about this and let's talk about that. We don't waste even a single minute on it. Mm-hmm. That's what I like about it. So people like this work because they don't have to every week come and tell me about some horror stories, because the life begins to shift right after one session, right? Actually, after one interview, a 1 hour session that I do with people, people are able to book sessions right after that because they feel so good within an hour.
Mm. Well, that's kind of a nice thing. You don't always get that kind of a guarantee from your physician when you go in and you have him say, I have this ache right here. I have this pain right here. And aside from maybe giving you a pain pill, you know, which really doesn't solve the problem. It only masks the pain. The pain is being caused for a reason. And so you need to get to the root cause of that pain. And in this case, you're doing just that through the work that you're doing. I want to let our listeners know that, of course, as you've given out the phone number, I'm going to do it one more time, 503-667-2023, and ritasoman.com is the website. You also mentioned, before we wrap up the program, you also mentioned that you are working on your book. Can you give us a little more information about that at this time?
The book name is called Meet Your Inner Awesome. Deep down, we have this beautiful child created by the divine to do big stuff in the world, and because how we are programmed as a child by the society and also by our parents, you know, so that shapes up our personality and psyche. So this, what I do, actually helps people to connect with their inner child and the authentic self. So this book I'm writing is more like in a hilarious way. It's not like telling my sad story for people, just to basically to give them hope and motivate them to see you're doing disservice to yourself if you're not updating your consciousness and your belief systems.
Well, I encourage people to go to your website as well as give you a call. And I mean, you know, what's it going to hurt? I mean, you can get freed up from some of the stuff that's been holding you back from doing the work that you would really love to do. I can certainly tell folks that I have had the pleasure of experiencing that, and it's something that has really helped. I mean, I've actually started to go off into a few of these little side streets of things that I want to do that are benefiting the overall picture of my life's purpose, or as I see my life's purpose. And so I would strongly encourage you to do to get in touch with Rita. And Rita, I want to thank you so much for joining us on the program today.
Thank you so much. I'm so excited to be on your show. I just can't tell you the words to praise you, because how you bring out stuff from me is amazing. Thank you.
Well, you're very welcome, and I thank you again. And I thank you, listeners, for joining us here on the program. And again, I encourage you to go to ritasoman.com, and also you can give her a call at 503-667-2023, 503-667-2023. We have been talking about addictions today, and we certainly hope that maybe if you have one, I hope it's a positive one. But at the same time, I'm hoping that maybe we can get ourselves back in balance and help our family and our friends to get back in balance. So maybe our civilization can move forward. I joke about this kind of, but you know, I was really hoping that we'd have the Jetsons flying cars by now here in the 21st century. But yeah, it's coming. I'm Richard Dugan. This has been Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World. We are giving you choices and knowledge of those choices to help make your dreams come true. Until next time, love to Lal.